Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the life in your word. It is a testament to your sovereignty, to your power, to your omniscience, and that we have this book before us that is perhaps not a book for some of us now. We carry it around on our phones, but this collection of writings that has stood the test of time and still informs us and still brings us new life after all of this time. Thank you, Lord, for your word that guides our steps and keeps us from error. And as we open today, I just pray that you make it real to all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I do love God's word. I love when I open it up. And it happened this week. I was I had an idea, something I thought I wanted to say, but I couldn't remember exactly where the scripture was that I was looking for. So I was just doing a word search. And the word search landed on a scripture verse that I've used time and time again. It's one of my favorites. But all of a sudden, I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing something I never saw before.
Amen.
Wait a minute. A new commandment? How do we have a new commandment? Isn't this the same thing that he's been teaching all along? How's it new? Well, of course, then I had to go and study and find out. All right, how can it be new? And of course, I'm going to study. It's about love, right? So it's my favorite subject. I'm not exactly reluctant to dig in to find out what's going on here. One of the things that I always or often pray and think about as someone who has been called to preach is, Lord, don't ever let me misrepresent your truth.
Amen.
I can admit ignorance. I don't have any problem with that. I can say I don't know. But just don't ever let me tell a lie from this pulpit. Don't ever let me say something that is not true.
Amen.
And I believe that he has guided me and that I've never said anything that's not true. Well, actually, I take that back. There was one thing that I said, and one of these days I'm going to have to correct it. It wasn't theologically significant, but I'm going to have to come back at some point and correct that, because I found out later I was probably wrong about that. So I'll come back to that at some point, because I can't let it stand. But today I found something new in a scripture that I've been studying all my adult life. So I'm excited to share. And we're going to start in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Y'all heard me quote, read it so many times, you probably quote it. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now, what makes this commandment different? After all, Jesus said, if you look back in Matthew, we're not going to read it, if you look back in Matthew chapter 22, when somebody asked him, what's the greatest commandment? He's already said, well, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He's already said that that those two make the foremost commandment. And he said that fulfills the law and the prophets. So if he's already said that, and you actually will find that repeated, not only there, but in Romans 13, verses 8 through 10, and Galatians 5, 14 says the same thing. So what is Jesus saying here that is new? Jesus is saying, go beyond yourself. All of those scriptures say, love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus is saying something new here. What makes this new is he's saying, no, you put other people ahead of yourself.
Amen. That's right.
That's what makes this different. And he showed us exactly what that looks like with his own example. And he said, when you do that, that defines you to the world. That allows people to know that you are my disciples. When you're doing this, when you're loving each other like that, people are going to know that you belong to me. Church, is that what we're known for today? I fear that it's not. And what scares me about that is that tells me that we're not known as his disciples. Because that's what he taught us to do. How did he love? We see throughout the Gospels that he had compassion on people when they were hurting. We see him serving people. We see here in the same book, a couple of chapters earlier, how he got down and he washed the disciples' feet.
Amen.
We see that he loved people with the truth, telling them what they needed to hear. It wasn't that he covered up what was wrong. It was that he spoke the truth in love.
Amen.
And really meant it in love. Unlike sometimes when you hear that phrase, you immediately get ready. But he also loved us with his life when he gave it for us.
Thank the Lord.
Let's look a couple of chapters further. I won't spend most of the time on this passage because it's very revealing. It's in chapter 15, starting in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and have appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Linda has talked several times about the importance of repetition in the Bible. You see something repeated here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the end of this, at the beginning of this, and a couple of other places too, one of them we read in chapter 13. Over and over and over he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Shows how important he thinks this is. And then by the content of this passage, he makes it very clear what he's saying. Is it easy to do? No, it's not easy to do. It's hard to do. Because it involves giving up ourselves. It involves putting what's important to other people ahead of what's important to us. But he said, will you lay down your life? That is, he said, the greatest love. And it's the love that he showed by his own actions. And he said, I've called you friends. And he said, you're my friends when you do what I command you. In other words, you do what I do. And he's just after saying what he commanded. And he's going to say it again a couple verses later, what he commanded. This is how, friends, we get to understand the heart of God. This is how we draw close to God. This is how we begin to have that relationship that we all desire. We learn how to love.
Amen.
We learn how to love each other. So again, he says, this is my commandment. What's another thing that he says in here? Love shares. Love shares intimately. He says, I'm not calling you slaves anymore, because slaves just do what they're told. In another place, in Luke chapter 17, he says, you know, if you do everything you're supposed to do, at the end of the day, you say, we're unworthy slaves because we've only done what we're supposed to do. If we're not motivated by something more than doing what we're supposed to do, we've missed it. Because our motivation has to be love.
Amen.
Friends work together toward a common goal. So as we learn to seek love, we'll begin to hear His voice. We'll begin to hear Him speak. And I've seen that. I'm going to embarrass a couple of people here. I see that in Priscilla. I see that in the things that when she brings, when she comes up here and she talks, she's always talking about how, she's arguing with the Lord sometimes about it. I don't really want to do that. But she does it. The Lord tells her to do something that she does. And why does she hear from the Lord that way? Because she's already thinking that way. That's already in her heart. I can see the compassion. My wife is the same way. I'll make an admission here. Most of the good things, if we've ever done anything good for anybody since we've been here, most of that was her idea. She's the one who thinks that way. And because she already thinks that way, the Lord leads her and the Lord talks to her, and we end up doing things that we should have been doing. He says, I chose you. Love makes a choice. Love is a choice, and love makes a choice. He chooses us, and He teaches us. And yes, He rebukes us. He disciplines us. That's what the word means, disciple. It means that you're making an effort. You are applying discipline in your own life to do what He's called you to do. To spend time with Him, to make yourself available to Him. And He says, I'm doing this for you so that you will bear fruit. So as we interact with each other, as we love each other, the object is to help each other bear fruit. To help each other be all that God intended for us to be. And love gives.
Pardon me. What does bear fruit mean?
Well, to bear fruit, in other words, let me see how I can put that. When you plant a tree and you grow it, it bears fruit. That it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's producing something good. So when we're told that we're supposed to bear fruit, in other words, something is supposed to be coming out of our lives that's good and beneficial and that helps the people around us.
Amen.
He gives to us, and He desires to do so. I didn't put it up there, but in Luke it says, chapter 13, verse 32, it says that part of the verse says that the Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. And it's in the context of His will. And then He repeats the commandment again. Love each other.
Amen.
And you know what? He always knows best. Sometimes what happens in our lives doesn't look like a good thing. And sometimes it's not a good thing. You know, God didn't say that evil is good. But He did say He can take evil and use it for good.
Amen. You got to say that again, Larry.
God never said that evil is good.
Amen.
But He did say that He will take evil and use it for good.
Amen. That's
wonderful. Amen.
How do we apply this? We'll share with you a few more verses to sort of give us an idea of how we can put this into practice. And one of the first thing that I want to point out is that he says in Romans, and we've read this a lot too, the chapter 12, and this I did put up there, and I put it out of the Common English Bible because I love the way it reads. But he says, love for real. Don't be faking it. The more traditional translations say, let your love be without hypocrisy. But I love the way this reads. It says, love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil. Hold on to what is good. Love each other like members of your family. Be the best at showing honor to one another. Isn't that cool? Be the best at showing honor. You want to compete at something? Compete at showing honor to one another. Now, it says treat each other like family. Well, you know, sometimes we don't treat our family very well, do we? Maybe that ought to read, treat each other like you ought to treat your family.
Right.
It's the implication there is that we're supposed to be treating our family right. And it is evil when we don't treat our family right. But we're supposed to be building each other up. Look at Romans chapter 15. And we'll read verses 1 and 2. Read this one out of the ESV. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. Now the context of that verse back in Romans 14, he's been talking about the various traditions that were practiced by the Jewish believers. And some people felt that they were important, some people felt that they weren't important. But what he's basically saying is, hey, don't use your freedom to hurt other people.
Right. Amen.
In modern terms, it might be something like drinking alcohol. We don't have a whole lot of rituals and things like that we practice. This was written to a Jewish community. But for us, maybe it would be something like that. If you have somebody that's struggling with alcoholism, or they just believe you're not supposed to drink, well, then the right thing to do is don't be drinking around them. Don't be putting it in their face. And don't be causing them to stumble. Don't be tripping people up just because you have the freedom. See, that becomes selfishness. And we're tearing each other down instead of building each other up.
Right.
Yeah. It's okay to acknowledge that you have a strength in a particular area, but don't get too proud.
Amen.
And don't start thinking of yourself as being better than someone else. And, you know, there's such, we talk about, you hear the word constructive criticism sometimes. And, yeah, that is such a thing. But you know what? Most of it isn't. And most of it really doesn't work. There's a place for criticism, but we ought to be using it very sparingly. We ought to be, if when we feel like there's a need to say something, really praying before we say something and making sure that that we're really operating in a way that's going to help the other person and not hurt.
Amen.
And take a good look in the mirror before you do it. We'll turn to Galatians chapter 6. Start in verse 1. It says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself.
Amen.
See, when you become your focus, you're going to have a problem. When other people's sin becomes your focus, you're going to have a problem. Because you know what? What you focus on is what you eventually start thinking about, and you might even find yourself in the same problem.
It's true.
We all know the proverb that says, pride goes before a fall. Mm-hmm. And notice something else he says here. Here he says, when you are building each other up, when you're bearing one another's burdens, you're fulfilling the law of Christ. He didn't say here the law of the Old Testament. He said here the law of Christ. What's he talking about? He's talking about that great commandment. Love each other as I have loved you. Don't be tearing each other down. James chapter 5, verse 9 says, do not complain against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. I'm not saying, as many people will try to tell you when you want to point out something that they really need to address, well, don't judge me. This is not about righteous judgment. Sometimes it's necessary.
Right.
Church discipline is necessary. We've talked about that. We've seen problems in this church because we didn't exercise it. It's not that we should not ever deal with things that are wrong. It's that we need to do it in a way that doesn't tear each other down and hurt each other.
Amen.
We don't need to be calling out without... I want to put this carefully. We don't need to be calling out carelessly, I think is the way I would put it,
right,
the faults of others. There's a right way to do things. And when we know it leads to trouble, and it can lead to our own judgment because we find ourselves hurting each other instead of helping each other. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. He calls us out beyond ourselves to love each other more. Not just as, but more. Then we love ourselves. And he set the example so we know what that looks like in his own life. This is how we love each other, and this is how we show the world what it looks like to have a relationship with Jesus. Let's do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful scripture once again that shows us your love, that shows us how to live, that shows us how to have a relationship with you that's fruitful and that reaches out and that draws people to you. We learned about evangelism today. That's part of it. We ought always to be seeking to bring new members into your family, because it's your will that none should perish. You don't want anybody to perish. You want all to come to repentance. So may we have a new resolve today to love each other and to love those around us who don't yet know you. In Jesus' name, amen.